But you know what can change a life? This gospel message that we've heard today. The gospel reading spoke of Jesus being alive. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was talking about Jesus being risen. And he was convinced that Christ had been raised from the dead and being the first fruits, that he was the first one, meaning that there's being the first fruit, there's a whole lot of others who are going to follow. Paul was absolutely convinced about that. And today, for us in the church, for those who hold on to Jesus, this is a day where we rejoice in his life. In his life, because he's the first and we are to follow. In his life, because he is alive, we too can be alive. Because he is alive, the grave is no longer our greatest enemy. Because he is alive, we are set right with God. The resurrection is the confirmation that sins are dealt with, that death has been broken. And now, for those who hold on to Jesus, death is not the end. Death is not victorious. Or at the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul would say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" It's gone. Doesn't mean we don't still miss people when they die, but Christians need not die without hope because he is alive. Peter puts it in a slightly different way in the book, and one of my favourite books in the Bible, 1 Peter, right at the start, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you." Peter was convinced that we had hope beyond the grave, that it was a living hope. Not a hope I win Tats Lotto, but hope of something you were confident in. A living hope, because Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus has changed everything. The cross would have just been a forgotten relic of ancient torture and horror, but forgotten nonetheless. But because Jesus has risen, for us now it's seen as the gateway to glory. At the cross, the greatest and most important moment of history, where somehow in Jesus, God gathered up all the brokenness and evil of the world and put it on Jesus. Horrific. And in that moment, all sin was represented. And a cosmic transaction took place where grace and judgment met, where mercy and holiness were together, where freedom and punishment were mingled together. On the cross, sin and death were the losers, and freedom and life the winners. In our gospel reading today, we heard of Jesus appearing to some of his disciples. Friends, this is the best news ever. This is the best news ever. This news changes the world. In the translation of the Bible I use, there are 1,190 words that the Apostle Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15 to talk about resurrection. It's almost like an essay. I'm not too fond of essays, but Paul really wanted to get across his point. Jesus is alive and it changes everything. He wants his people to hold on to Jesus, to live in the power of the resurrection, knowing its reality and truth. And in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul doesn't talk about the best news ever the way that I say it. He uses this word gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And the gospel is the best news ever. That's exactly what the gospel means, this great news that you've just got to hear. Just zipping back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I'm not one to normally go with alliteration, but today I've got a whole lot of R's, resurrection R. That wasn't deliberate, but they turns out that they're R's. And the Apostle Paul, in articulating about the resurrection, just in these first few passages, he wanted to remind them that in this... Did you just move that, Corbin? Did you touch that? Yeah, don't touch it. I've got it now. Thank you. I know you were trying to be helpful. So in this best news ever, the gospel, that's that word, he reminded them that he preached it to them. That he retold the story. Retold that Jesus was alive, that he died on the cross, that he's resurrected from the dead. This story has been retold and they have received it. Hands up if you got an Easter egg today. No. All right. Leona, when you got that Easter egg, did you just look at it and go, gee, that looks nice? And then did you do anything else?
Yes.
What did you do?
I unwrapped it and scoffed it.
Right. So she didn't just hold it or hear it. Oh, you don't hear Easter eggs. You can smell it. She received it and did what was meant to be done with it. She ate it. And this gospel message, and many people have heard the news, but the Corinthians here received it. They took it on in their life and it changed them. This news, when it's received, does transform. And this message, not only did they have it preached to them and received it, they also took a stand on it. I.e., it must have reshaped them. In Corinth, it was hard to be a Christian. There were all these sacrificial systems. There was all this sexual immorality. There was all this greed. There was all this power and status. And the Christian church there, in order to follow Jesus, lived a different life. And so they had to take a stand when they followed Jesus. They were marching to the beat of a different drum, Jesus' beat. They had a different pattern for life, following the teachings of Jesus. They had a different filter that they saw the world through. That this world was not all there was, but there was a greater life that was held in Jesus, and it was worth enduring things in this world in order to hold on to him. Paul tells them that it's by this gospel that was preached to them that they are saved. They received it. It was retold to them. It reshaped them. And this gospel rescued them. It saved them. But notice it says, you're saved by this gospel if you hold firmly to it. Levi, can you come up here? All right, mate. Hold on to my leg. This gospel will save you if you hold on to it. Now, I'm not the gospel, but it's important that in the gospel, we hold on to it. Don't let go of it, because as we hang on to it, we are saved. And it's not because by hanging on, we work and we earn God's favor. It's because by hanging on to it as the thing that we receive and that it shapes our life, that we stay close to Jesus. Paul says, hang on to it. Don't let go of this message. Because if you let go, you will have believed in vain. So brothers and sisters, we're about to get into what this message that was preached to them, this best news ever that Paul said, hang on to it. Receive it, let it reshape you, let it rescue you. Paul says, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So this is the important stuff he wants us to hold on to. One, that Christ died. We all know he died. But it wasn't just a death that would be forgotten. It was all without purpose. Paul says it was a death for our sins, that you and me, and that it was planned according to the scriptures. It was God's plan that our sins would be dealt with. We're also told in this gospel, this best news, not only did he die for us, as it was planned, that he was buried, and then that he was raised on the third day, again according to the scriptures. It's an amazing story. The best news ever. But Paul then, not only does he say that they've received it, it's reshaped them, it's rescued them, but then he also recounts the story that has happened, that's been told to others. And this is a really important thing. It's a really important thing, this message. See, what he shows next is that not only did Jesus die and that he was raised, but that lots of people saw it. And this is a really vital thing about the gospel story, because Paul wants them to know that this really happened. So it happened to Cephas, and then the 12, they saw him. And then, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And now, they haven't fallen asleep because they're in a boring sermon. That's code for them dying. But they talk about, in the early church, Christians falling asleep when they die because they're going to wake up again because of the resurrection. Now, why is it important that Peter lists that appeared to Cephas, he appeared to these, and he appeared to 500 other, most of whom are still alive? Why is that an important thing? What was that, John? It's the evidence. And what could someone do if they're still alive? What could someone go and do?
Tell it to someone else.
What was that, Beryl?
Destroy it.
No, they couldn't destroy it. But if the people were still alive who saw it, what could they go and do?
Ask them.
So Paul was saying, these people are still alive. You can still go and ask them about seeing Jesus. And here is one of the key gospel passages that gives so much credibility to Jesus being risen from the dead. Because they're putting it out for history, saying, you could go test this. These people are still alive. Go and check it out. Now, at the early morning service, I told a story, which I'm about to tell, and it went online, and someone from Mansfield sent me a message, because I said, I don't know the name of this guy who mapped the human genome, but anyway, this is the story. Well, I got a message back saying, this is the guy's name. So let me just open it up from Mansfield. The guy who texted me to say that they were watching it from Mansfield said Francis Collins was this guy. And Francis Collins is the guy who led the studies on mapping the human genome. And he won a Nobel Prize for science. And he was so into being a science guy and following the evidence. Just science. I'll follow the evidence. And he became unsettled because he realized that he had been very scientific in his science and very unscientific in weighing up religion. And so when he realized that he'd been unscientific and just dismissed religion entirely without actually looking at it, he decided to look into Jesus. And he did an Alpha course and he looked at the evidence of Jesus' resurrection. And there are many other things that I'm not going into today. But as he looked into that evidence, some of which is here in Corinthians, he became convinced himself that Jesus actually had risen. And he became a Christian. If Jesus rose from the dead, it changes the world. For those of you who have not come yet to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, what I would encourage you to do today is to have another look. Consider again, or for the first time, look into the evidence about whether he rose or not. If he didn't, and you, after looking at it, and you can stay convinced that he's not, then nothing will have changed. But if you look at it, and you become convinced that he was, well, as I said, the cross becomes the gateway to glory. For those of you who do believe, I've got one more R for you. Rejoice. The Apostle Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Thanks be to God. This is the end of his essay. It's his summary, closing arguments. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Why is it not in vain? Because life is held in Jesus' hand. Our world is not just the time we have now, but rather there is meaning and purpose to every single day. May God be with you. May you look into deeply the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and may his life be the life that sustains you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.